This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Brady Carlson, sitting in for Virginia Prescott. Anyone who's ever said reality is stranger than fiction hasn't seen too many movies about football. In football movies, losing your star quarterback doesn't ruin your team's season. It just means the backup guy pulls off last-second trick plays. And in the movies, your team's chances of victory are less tied to players or strategy than to the coach's inspiring locker room speech. Take Al Pacino's halftime talk in the movie Any Given Sunday.
On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. Yeah. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's going to make the f***ing difference between winning and losing.
Now, New Englanders might prefer a more drama-free victory this Sunday, but all the excitement over the big game got us talking about those notable football films, and some of the ones that were just a couple yards short of memorable. Here to call some of the silver screen's most improbable football plays is Kevin Flynn. He's an author, communications professional, rabid Pats fan, and full disclosure, the husband of our senior producer, Rebecca Lavoie. Kevin, welcome back to Word of Mouth.
Thank you, Brady.
Now, we should acknowledge there have been some strange and epic moments in actual NFL history that rival that of Hollywood.
Just a moment ago, the guy who handles the little brush machine came out on the field here to make a place for John Smith to spot the ball. There you see it, that slash mark at the right of... On the way! It's good!
I've never seen anything like that in all the years I've played, Jay.
Yeah, that is something like out of a Disney film there where the convict on work release takes the snowplow in the middle of a Patriots-Dolphins game, middle of a blizzard, and clears off a little path for the place kicker to make the one field goal of the game. Everybody who is a Pats fan remembers that play you're talking about, the old the snowplow game.
The feel-good moment of the year brought to us in part by the guy running the brush machine.
Exactly. You know, in a lot of, you know, real football games, you know, the moments that are most dramatic are caused by the typical plays on the field, the things you drive down to set up for that winning field goal. But in Hollywood, you have to go much bigger and much, you have to be more creative. So it's never just a little Adam Vinatieri field goal to win the Super Bowl. It's got to be something where he's doing it, but he also has a brain tumor and there's a time bomb about to explode on the other end of the field.
And his marriage is breaking up at the same time.
Exactly. And that's why we thought, hey, let's look at some of these like really outrageous football plays that like just would never happen in real life.
And actually, the first on your list is a based on a true story football film that you'd think would be a little bit more down to earth. Paper Lions, based off the exploits of immersion journalist George Plimpton.
The movie is based on Plimpton's novel, and it stars Alan Alda as George Plimpton. And of course, the setup is that as part of an article for Sports Illustrated, Plimpton tries to make the team as a third-string quarterback, and the players aren't supposed to know, but the coaches do. And it doesn't take long for everyone to figure out that he's not really a football player. And the movie ends during a football game in which the Detroit Lions send Plimpton out on the field with about a minute left to go. This is what happens. Plimpton lines up behind the right guard instead of the center, and then he proceeds to lose yards on every snap.
Come on, the play. Plays the play, George.
Split right, green right.
Wait, that's a pass.
I know it's a pass. I'll never expect it.
George, we're on our own 15-yard
line. I know where we are. I got us here, didn't I?
Boy, you're lonesome.
And I'll get us out, too. 13 seconds. What can happen?
Joe can kill you, that's all.
Usually the lead characters in sports movies show us who we aspire to be, and here's a guy showing us how we probably would actually be in those circumstances.
Sure, and he scrambled so much that he, in the end, he runs into the goalpost and knocks himself out, which would never happen. So why is he even on the field? Now, it is based in part on a true incident. You know, Plimpton did get into an exhibition game and did lose yards on every single play, but no way is that ever going to happen where just some guy from Slate.com is going to go in for Tom Brady. Not going to happen.
All right, next we have The Longest Yard, and I should specify we're talking about the original version of the film from 1974, the one starring Burt Reynolds.
Sure, Burt Reynolds is the quarterback-turned-convict with a heart of gold.
And a chest of gold.
And the chest of gold, and they're behind bars, and what happens is that the cons get to bring it to the gridiron against the abusive prison guards. And so what happens is all the lovable, scrappy convicts pull out every trick play in the book, including one that Bill Belichick and Doug Flutie tried not too long ago.
It's fourth and four, and we're going to drop kick.
Shotgun. Drop kick. On one. Ready?
Ball goes back to Charlie Blue Eyes.
What the hell was that?
That was a drop kick.
Drop kick.
Drop kick.
How much does that count?
3 points.
3 points?
3 points.
For that?
Yeah, now you're probably not going to see a dropkick in the Super Bowl, although we should point out the New Orleans Saints, when they won the Super Bowl against the Colts, they did do a few surprise moves and really threw them off their game, so
yeah,
to speak.
Sure. And, of course, they threw in everything but the kitchen sink on that one in order to get their win. The last play is Burt Reynolds scrambling all the way to the right and then all the way to the left like Tim Tebow and then vaulting over, which I think is an illegal move now, vaulting over the offensive line to get in for the touchdown. Footnote is, you know, they did a remake of The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler, and how did they win on the last play? The Fumble Rooski was the name of the play, which is an actual play, too, where you essentially just put the ball on the ground and see what happens.
That's pretty much the ending of every Adam Sandler movie that I know of, anyway.
A fumble of some kind.
All right, next up is The Game Plan, starring The Rock.
Yeah, a Disney film starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Long-lost daughter winds up on his doorstep, cramps his style and his image. So at one point, The Rock has to take his daughter to ballet classes, and he takes up dancing too, and that skill comes back with Miyagi-like timing in that championship game.
Swing! Kinman with some fancy footwork. Fancy, the king looks downright graceful all of a sudden.
Boy, hearing that, it sounds like a Michael Bay movie. It's loud, it's frenetic, there's bodies piling up all over.
You wouldn't believe it was like direct to DVD from Disney. It's just too violent for that.
Here's one that not a lot of people would expect. Here's a scene from the movie MASH.
We're talking about the movie MASH that inspired the TV show. And if you saw the movie, the Robert Altman movie from 1977, you know that the 4077th gets into a grudge football match against the 325th EVAC. And there's money, of course, on both sides. So they both bring in their ringers. So who does the 4077th bring in as their ringer?
Well, it's one of my favorite actors, Fred Williamson.
And his character was...
Well, I hate to even say the word, but it's Spear Chucker Jones.
Yeah,
that's a term you would never use today.
That was the character's name. He was an African-American pro football sensation turned neurosurgeon drafted into the Korean War. So this game, of course, in the middle of the film has everything. First of all, the MASH unit takes out the other guy's ringer by drugging him during a gang tackle. And in the end, to win the game, Spear Chucker comes in with a beauty of a gadget play.
A center-eligible play. We line up with everybody to the right of the center, except Hawkeye, who drops back 1 yard just before the snap of the ball. Now, that makes you a center eligible, but all you have to do is take the ball right back from the travel between your legs and hide it under your belly and walk toward their goal.
And history is made.
Yeah, I mean, did you get it? Was the center eligible play. I don't even know if he says the ref says it's legal. I can't imagine, you know, Tom Brady and Logan Mankins, you know, setting up in a certain way so you could do that. But, yeah, it ends up with some corpsman lumbering downfield with a football tucked under his jersey and then chaos erupts on the field.
All right, we've covered pro, we've covered prison football, even military football, so how about good old high school football?
Yeah, the most unbelievable play to end a football movie from the high school variety has to be Varsity Blues. 1999, James Vanderbeek. He's the scrappy backup quarterback who is, you know, thrust into stardom at a Texas high school where football is king. So what happens is in the course of the playoffs, the team mutinies at halftime against their dictatorial coach, John Voight. So the boys take the field and mount a comeback calling their own plays, just like Mickey Rooney would have done. You know, with the game on the line, stuck near the goal line, Vanderbeek calls the trick play that we've already seen them screw up in practice.
Billy Bob, this is it. The man who got us here, you ready?
You don't think that lame-ass play where I run down field and act like I'm lost is going to work, do you?
Split left, 90, hook and ladder on one. Split left, 90, hook and ladder on one. Ready, boom!
Touchdown!
And this time it pays off.
Right, the old hook and ladder play. I think that's how they say lateral down in Texas. Ladder.
Ladder.
The hook and lateral. And so, you know, with the season on the line, why not pass the ball to your best receiver, only to have him shuffle it to a 500-pound man-child named Billy Bob, who will puff his way to the end zone. I think that run took like 15 minutes on film, too. I wanted to have oxygen when he was done, which is hopefully something we don't see in the Super Bowl, but you never know.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, maybe this is just me, but I do feel like the way that TV covers football has evolved to be a little more movie-like. There's so much more talk about momentum. There's talk about, you know, the announcers talk about the road that these players have taken to the game. They build this narrative as the game goes on, and then as one team starts to prevail over the other, you see a particular narrative coming across. You know, we're talking about putting football into movies, but in a way, we're kind of also putting movies into football.
That's true, and because especially with the Super Bowl, most of the country hasn't followed that particular team and those players. So to give some exposition about their backstory and why you want to root for them is great for sports, and it's great for that final dramatic moment. And hopefully on Sunday, it's the Patriots that we're cheering for at the end.
So if this Super Bowl was a movie, what would it be? Like Rocky II because it's a rematch? Or?
I think it might be like There Will Be Blood. So I want the Patriots to drink their milkshake.
I was going to say Giants, Pats, 2 Electric Boogaloo. I kind of like yours better. Kevin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Flynn is
Brady.
Brady.
Tom Brady.
Oh. Kevin Flynn is a communications director at the New Hampshire CDFA, the author of 3 true crime books, and a passionate Pats fan. For his picks of the most improbable plays in the history of football films, click over to wordofmouthradio.org. We'd also love to hear what your favorite football films are, whether it's Rudy's heart-wrenching story or that slow clap at the end of the 80s teen flick Lucas. Post your picks on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio, or send us a tweet at Word of Mouth. You're listening to Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio.